come from?
I just was in Melbourne for that like five, six hours ago.
How did you get here? You walk so fast.
I was in the airplane and I came.
Okay.
Just like, yeah.
Now let me ask you a question. Would you say you walked here? How did you get here? You would say you flew. But you didn't really fly, yes? The plane flew.
Yes.
You just sat. Is that true? We say we flew here. But actually, we just sat here. Is that true?
Yes, Gabriela.
What? So in a similar way, by hearing about Krishna, we don't go back to Krishna. Krishna, all we do is listen. And then by Krishna's mercy, like sitting in the airplane, and we go, this is, it sounds like a funny point, but it's an important point, that it's so important to hear about Krishna. Why is it important to hear about Krishna? Because by nature, we are all full of desires. We can't help as souls from desiring. It is part of being a soul that we desire. We can't remove desires from the heart, but we can change the quality of the desires. And by hearing about Krishna, because Krishna is all attractive, then the desire to be with Krishna becomes water, like the seed of a plant. It grows. And without water, the seed will not grow. So it's very important. Ihan Mali Nitya Sechi Sravanadi Jal. Srila Krishna's Kaviraj quotes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying that the good gardener of the plant, the seed of the creeper of devotion, he waters it with the Sravanadi Jal, with the water of hearing and chanting about Krishna. And then the seed will grow very nicely. And if we don't hear about Krishna, are you hungry? Because I saw you were eating fingers. I thought you must be so hungry. So I can give you some nice prasadam. So because of Janmashtami, I would like to speak a little bit, not exactly about Krishna's birth, but one of the reasons why Krishna took his birth was, advented himself, was to remove some of the demonic elements of this world. And some of these, and one of the main asuras or demonic persons that Krishna was to remove, his name was Kamsa. So the part of the Bhagavatam that we're going to read in the 10th canto describes and leads up to the point of Krishna actually killing Kamsa. But because Kamsa is in Mathura and Krishna grew up in Vrindavan, Krishna had to leave Vrindavan to go to Mathura to kill Kamsa. So the people of Mathura, as we shall hear, they were so happy because they had the opportunity to see Krishna for the first time. They had heard about Krishna. They had heard about his beauty. They had heard about how he killed this demon and that demon. And they heard about his different playing with the cowherd boys and the cows, but now they were going to see Krishna for the first time. So it was their time for great happiness, because they will see Krishna, and Krishna's so beautiful and wonderful, and they heard so much about him. But at the same time, well, the residents of Mathura were going to be so happy. The residents of Vrindavan, it was the time for their tears. What we don't hear in this chapter, chapter 41, about the tears of the residents of Vrindavan, we heard about that in chapter 39. And it's a very, it's very, very special. But there's a lot of philosophy behind this. But in the missing Krishna, the desiring to be with Krishna, Krishna actually takes, he actually is alive there. And on the other hand, if one doesn't have the desire to see Krishna, to be with Krishna, even if one is face to face with Krishna, Krishna, for all practical purposes, won't be there. So much depends upon our desires. And so much of our desires, so much of what we desire, so turning Hare Krishna. If you'd like to sit inside, we have reserved one seat for you, if you would like. But you might have other things sitting up there. You might want to do other things. So therefore, it's very important to hear from Krishna, and as we understand as we go along very naturally why it's important to hear about Krishna. So I'm not going to speak very much about why the different ways, the philosophy behind the pastime, how there's Vedanti Tattva Vedas Tattvam Yas Jnanam Adhyayam Ramiti Paramatmiti Bhagavaniti Savite. That the absolute truth, satyam param dhimayi, the absolute truth is what we should meditate upon. But, and depending upon our mood or methodology, we will perceive the absolute truth, the methodology of approach, we will perceive the absolute truth in different ways. But I'd rather just actually at this point speak about the pastime, about Krishna, the Leela of Krishna when he's entering into Mathura. Now, raise your hand if you know the answer to this question. How, by what way, just like you came by aeroplane, and how did you get here? Did you walk? Did you come by aeroplane? How did you come?
Car.
Oh, that's right. You're allowed to say, get some coaching. Yeah, you came by car. But you know how Krishna came from Vrindavan to Mathura? Okay, well, multiple choice. All those who think that he came by aeroplane, raise your hand. There's always one. All those who think he walked, raise your hand. Okay. All those who think he rode on a bullock cart, raise your hand. I almost cut you with this one. All those who think he took the train. Okay. All those who think he came on a chariot driven by a Akura, raise your hand.
Yeah.
So Akura drove the chariot, and they stopped at the Yamuna. And there, in the waters of the Yamuna, Akura left Krishna and Balaram on the chariot. And this is something very wonderful, and I'm not going to speak much about it. But when Akura went to bathe in the Yamuna at noon, he saw Krishna and Balaram in his Vishnu form, in their Vishnu forms in the water. They saw him as the all-powerful lords. He saw them as the all-powerful lords, even though they were still on the chariot. He saw them in the water as the all-powerful lords. Do you know why he saw them in that form? In their Vishnu form? that Balaram was Ananta Shesha and Krishna was Lord Vishnu with four arms called Ananta Vishnu. Do you know why? Because they were his worshipable deities. So according to how we worship, according to the desire in our heart, that will dictate how we worship, and also not only how we worship, who we will see. How the form Saranugraya. According to how we hear, the Lord will appear in our heart in that way. Very important. Krishna, there's one verse of the Bhagavad Gita, Yayatab. What else the rest of the verse? Yayatab. Yes. Yeah, that he's going to reciprocate with us according to our desire. There's so many things to say about that point, but because we want to continue. So when Akura came, he saw the Lord in the water, and then he came, and he was confronted with power, unlimited power, practically speaking. And when he saw the Lord, he was awestruck. And when he came back to the chariot, he understood, first of all, Krishna and Balaram were still on the chariot, and they were also just in the water, but in different forms. And his eyes were like this. And Krishna said to him in a very innocent way, "Oh, Uncle Akura, you look like you've seen something very wonderful in the water." And Akura and Balaram also noticed this. And then Akura said, "When I'm seeing you, I'm actually seeing the most wonderful thing." So then Akura got on the chariot, and interestingly enough, they drove all the way to Mathura, and they arrived in Mathura around evening time. Now, just before the sun was about to set. Now, why did it take so long? Because it's not that far from the place. No one has any, raise your hand if you've been to Akuragat. And there's one little village nearby, which is also famous for a little bit of a different reason, named Bartral. But Akuragat, there's many things that happened at Akuragat, but it's not that far from Mathura. It's actually the border between Vrindavan and Mathura. But why did it take so long while they were driving? So here's what is said. Now, I have the book here, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the BBT version of Srimad Bhagavatam translations, but I also have some of the commentaries of the Acharyas over here. But it's so much nicer to have a real book in front of you than to have both. Excuse me. What are you thinking right now? I said this will take a moment or two. What were you thinking?
Devotee in front of me is a bit restless.
you know why? Do you know why?
Because I'm restless.
Because they, huh?
Maybe because I'm restless.
No, I don't think so. I think it's because they're restless. Because it's late for them, both of them, and he's 2 hours later even. So right now, even though it appears to be 7:30 for us, it's 9:30 for him. So Krishna must be very tired. And Braj Sudama, he's just so eager to go and play with Krishna that he's maybe. Are you going to? Because will you be able to sit quite still? I'll try to make this story interesting. Okay, will you try your best?
Okay.
Okay, and if it's hard for you, go sit next to your mother, okay? Okay, and there won't be any problem if you do that. Is that all right?
Yeah.
What were you thinking? Not much, but that means something.
That's a good question.
Isn't it interesting what our minds do in between when there's nothing specific? Like when I'm speaking, you know, naturally there'll be a tendency to try to listen, try our best to listen, and our minds will be filled with that. But what do we do? What does the mind do when, where does it go? And that's an interesting thing to watch, where our mind goes. And if our mind thinks of Krishna, we are very, very fortunate. Kirtaniya Sadahari was the recommendation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Akura, after telling Krishna that now seeing you, I've seen the most wonderful thing, who is the source, the most wonderful person, who is the source of everything. Then Akura, who is his Gandini, was his forefather, he began driving the chariot onward with the two boys, Krishna and Balaram, onward towards Mathura. And at the end of the day, he arrived in Mathura with Lord Balaram and Krishna. And very interesting, it took a long time for him to drive those few kilometers from Akuragat, as it's now called, from the Yamuna River there to Mathura, outside of the city of Mathura. So our acharyas explain why. Excuse me, the next verse it says, wherever they passed along the road, the village people came forward and they looked at the two sons of Vasudev. It's already being called the son of Vasudev now. Even though the devotees in Vrindavan, they only think of him as Nanda Nandana Nanda Dulal or Yashoda Dulal. They only think of him in relationship to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Maya. But here the mood is changing already. He's moving to Mathura. Actually, philosophically, it's not the full form of Krishna that is left Vrindavan going to Mathura. It's like the king when he's at home in his personal house. And then when he leaves his personal house and goes to sit on the throne, he leaves a part of him behind, the part that's familiar, the part that plays with his children, the part that jokes with his wife. He leaves it behind to sit on the throne. But when he's at home, he's still the king. He still has the power, but it's somewhat of a different mood. So when Krishna goes to Mathura, he's no longer, in one sense, he's no longer Nandanandana, Yasoda Nandana. He becomes the son of Vasudev. And he becomes Yadu Uttama, the best of the members of the Yadu dynasty. So when he was driving in the chariot, all the village people, they were so astounded to look at beautiful Krishna. And Krishna smiled at them, and Krishna glanced at them with his lotus eyes, and he captured their hearts, and the chariot therefore went very slowly. They could not, as Sukadeva Goswami says as he's narrating this, they could not keep their eyes from him. He was so beautiful. yourself. Go sit next to your mother. But because you're a little bit tired, and I think it's okay because it's late for you. Would you like to sit next to your mother? And you can, if you like, you can. And Rasi Dhamma, what would you like to do? The villagers could not withdraw their eyes from him. So it's also interesting that the narrator of this pastime, Sukadeva Goswami, at this point, his mind is not in Mathura yet. He's thinking of the pain of the residents of Vrindavan who are all crying as the people of Mathura are looking forward to seeing Krishna. So then the chariot with the Kura on it is coming closer. And the same time as the chariot left, because as it described in the previous chapters, that the reason why they are going to Mathura, on one hand, is to kill Kamsa. But on another hand, the reason why Kamsa has called them is there's a Dhano Jagya. There is a sacrifice and a wrestling match that's going to take place. So, and Nanda Maharaj and all the and cowherd men and cowherd boys, the cowherd boys, some of them also went. They went ahead because Akura. It was such a scene when Krishna was leaving. Gopis had surrounded the chariot, and I've just been studying this part. It's from the material point of view, it's very, very, very sad. They were crying and crying. They were holding on to the chariot. And there's a point, and there's a village near Nandagan where the gopis stop following the chariot, and it's called Vajwari. And it's a very special place. And then they watch the chariot go into the distance. But Akura, instead of going straight on the road to Mathura, he went this way and that way and this way and that way and this way and that way. So on one hand, the purpose was so no one would be able to follow him and figure out which way he was going, because they were trying to stop him. They could not. Just imagine someone so you're so attached to, you cannot even tolerate the thought that they're leaving your presence. It's like your life leaving your body. So Kuru went this way and that way. And by doing that, he also allowed the residents of Vrindavan in the different villages on the way to Mathura to see him. And as we just heard, they could not, when they saw him, they could not keep their eyes off of him. He was so beautiful. But Nanda Maharaj, well, Akura is going this way and this way and this way and this way. Nanda Maharaj, with the bullock carts full of different offerings for Kamsa, and the cowherd boys were on the carts and the cowherd men were on the carts. They went on a sort of a shortcut straight to Mathura. So they arrived first. And when they arrived, Krishna, because the chariot is faster than the bullock carts, they were expecting on one level Krishna to be there already, but he wasn't. And this is the nature of Krishna, that he pulls on the heart to such a degree that when you're with him, there's a fear that you might not be with him. And when you're with him, the blinking of the eyes becomes troublesome, because for that nimesa, that just for that half of a second, part of a second in time, you cannot see Krishna. Very disturbing. Well, the cowherd boys, when Krishna would walk behind, when they were herding the cows, Krishna would walk behind a tree. And how long, when you're walking, you might walk behind a tree, but how long does that last? But still, that was intolerable for them. So we can just imagine, of course we can't understand, but we can just imagine how amazingly beautiful and attractive Krishna is. So they had reached first, but Krishna wasn't there. So because Nanda Maharaj was there, and he's the father, what is he thinking? Fathers, what are they thinking if their child is coming late from school or something like that? Or they
anxiety?
Immediately anxiety and worrying, what happened to Krishna? How come he's not there? How could something happen? So they went to a high place. Nanda Maharaj sent some of the cowherd boys to a bit of a hill. They stopped up. They wouldn't enter the city of Mathura without Krishna. So they went and they sent someone up on high to look down the road to see when Krishna was coming. And suddenly they saw the dust of the chariot inform Nanda Maharaj. And then they were waiting in a garden, and Krishna and Balaram and Akura came, and Nanda Maharaj and the coward men. They saw their own people again, and so they were so happy. So you had the coward men were there, Krishna and Balaram were there, the coward boys were there, and who else was there?
Akura.
Akura was also there. Now, Akura didn't quite fit in one sense. And Krishna, so he said to Krishna, Krishna first, he took Akura's hand in his own hand, my dear uncle, and this is what he said. You please take the chariot and you enter the city ahead of us. Then you can go to your home, and after resting here for a while, with us rest for a while, then we will go and see the city. And what do you think Akura's mood was? Now you can go. Yes, Jimmy, he wanted to answer that one. Akura, was he happy to hear that? Well, that's first, but that wasn't the question I asked. What do you think his mood was? Krishna said, now you've brought us here. Thank you so much. Now, please, we have to do something else. We have to go to the city. And we'll go see that. I want to go with my friends. And Akura, I said, wait. Wait a second here. He said, oh, Master. Oh, Lord. Because he understood his love was full of awe and reverence. Because he had just seen Krishna Balaram, some of the power of Krishna Balaram. So he said, oh Lord, oh Master, the coward people, they just saw him, their madhuras, their sweetness in the relationship was much stronger. That dominated the relationship. So he, the chorus said, oh my Lord, I cannot enter the city of Mathura without you. It is not fair for you to abandon me. You are always affectionate to your devotees, and I am your devotee. You can't just send me away like this. Come. And he had a different plan. I have a better idea, like every good devotee. You please come to my house. You come with your elder brother, the coward man, and all your, everyone can come to my house. Oh, best of friends, oh, transcendental Lord, in this way, you please grace my home with its actual master. And he saw himself, he talked, I'm just an ordinary householder. I'm attached to a ritual sacrifices. Purify my home with the dust of your feet. By that act of purification, all my forefathers will be benefited, and all the devatas, the demigods, will be satisfied. And we will bathe your feet when you come to our house. So his mood was so full of awe and reverence, so different from the Brijbasi's mood. And if you think about it, why did he want Krishna to come to his house? Raise your hand. Yes.
Because he was in separation from Krishna?
Yes, that was part of it. What did he say? Why did he want Krishna to come to his house? Yes.
He wanted to feed him.
That's why you want Krishna to come to your house so you can feed him. Yeah.
To bathe his feet.
To bathe his feet, to purify his house, to please his, purify his forefathers. So in one sense, purify the house. So in one sense, who's the center of his desire? He himself is. And then Krishna, let's hear what Krishna says. He says, the washing your feet is so purifying. It purifies the world it makes the Ganga holy, and so many things on that level. Please, I offer you my obeisances. And then Krishna replied to him, I will come to your house with my elder brother, but first I must satisfy my friends and well-wishers by killing the enemy of the Jadu clan. That means first I will have to kill Kamsa. Because he called him in the previous verse, he said, oh, you are the best of the Yadus. So he's saying that as the best of the Yadus, I have to do my duty as the best of the Yadus and first kill Kamsa. And then after, because sometimes we say that when we don't want to do something. Yes, yes, I'll come later. I'll do it later. Don't worry. But actually, Krishna did go there later. And it's so interesting what happens, because Krishna finally comes to his house and he bathes his feet, and now my forefathers this, and he in one sense he wants to engage Krishna in his service. But the reason why Krishna came to his house is because Krishna wanted to engage Ukura in his own service, and he sent him to Hastinapur to find out how the Pandavas were doing. Just fairly recently, I visited one Vrindavan sadhu who lives on the other side of the Yamuna. He's a yogi, but definitely a sadhu. And there are many people there, and he does a lot of medicinal things. He teaches yoga and he gives people medicines and things like that, Ayurvedic medicines. So, and there was a lot of people just sitting around them. And, you know, they were sorting different herbs and things like that. And then he said to me, they come for blessings and I give them seva. Because usually people don't think in that way. They come for blessings so they could have their desires fulfilled. But actually, when the greatest blessing is to be able to do seva, for service. And that's how Prabhupada actually first translated the Hare Krishna mantra for us in a very simple way. He said, oh Lord, oh energy of the Lord, this is meaning the Hare Krishna mantra. Oh Krishna, oh Srimati Radharani, please allow me to serve you. This is the desire of the devotee to serve. And it's not just to work. It's not employment. In India, you ask someone, what is your service? They'll tell you about their job. But seva is different from that. Rashidama, are you going to walk home? It's so far. Okay. So you have something important to do.
It's to be with Mataji.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because Mataji is like painting things. Rashidama. And family, all very artists. Like, Tina, are you painting things?
No, it's like my
piano. Maybe you can paint Brad Sudama. Now you have two to paint. But first I will satisfy my friends and well wishes by killing the enemy that becomes Kamsa. He didn't mention by name. the enemy of God. So, this is the Kura had a problem. And one says he wanted Krishna to come to his house, but at the same time, he says, "My dear Lord, you are the Lord. So when you have a desire, but the Lord has a different desire, and you acknowledge that he's the Lord, you have to follow what he says. So you might not always be happy about it, like Akura wasn't so happy." So he entered the city after Krishna told him that, but he entered the city, but with a heavy heart. There was some sadness. And he did his duty because Kamsa, he was going there as a messenger of Kamsa. He went to Braja to get Krishna as a messenger of Kamsa. So he went to report to Kamsa that he had fulfilled his duty and he had brought Krishna to Mathura. Actually, Kamsa's plan, of course, was to kill Krishna. But Akura's plan in bringing Krishna to Mathura was for Krishna to kill Kamsa. And that's what will happen. Now, Jiva Goswami writes something very interesting about Akura's. He went to his house. And this is the last we hear of Akura in this pastime. So, but this is what Jiva Goswami says. And this is a very important instruction because Krishna said, what did he say? I have my duty to do. But what else did he say? Did he say he would come to the Guru's house? Don't about me. He'll come later. So there's something instructive for us in this too. For devotees who want Krishna to come to their house or come to their hearts or to be with Krishna, because there's something so pure in this. Akura was a great devotee. There's something so wonderful in this. He wanted to be with Krishna. He could not tolerate being separate from Krishna. He wanted to be with Krishna, and then he was with Krishna. And now he was separated from Krishna, and this is intolerable for a devotee. So he entered the city with a heavy heart. He informed Kamsa, and then he went home. But this is what Jiva Goswami says, which is a very something, there's some instruction hidden here for devotees. Krishna had promised later and had promised to kill Kamsa, he was not really morose. He wasn't really miserable. Rather, he thought, tomorrow Krishna will kill Kamsa and then he'll come to my home. Thus, he went to his house to clean his house while Krishna is coming. Out of attachment for Krishna, he did nothing else until Krishna arrived. Now, this is Krishna's. He does this. He did this when he, later on when he went to Magda, and the kings who Jarasandha had imprisoned, he told the kings they had sent a messenger to him, and they had told he sent to say, Krishna, come and save us. Will you please save us? We're your devotees, and then and Krishna, before sending the messenger back, he said, you tell them that I'm coming. But he didn't come for several months. So Krishna had said he's coming, and the devotees know that Krishna will keep his word. But sometimes Krishna's plan and timing doesn't quite match our plan and timing. So what to do during those times? Oh, when Krishna was leaving Vrindavan and the gopis were following him, Ayasya iti dautukai, he sent them a message. He sent them a message, the gopis a message through a messenger, and he said, I'm coming. But he didn't come immediately. And for them, one moment separated from Krishna was like 1,000 years. What to speak of not knowing when Krishna was going to return. And after seeing him every day, every day, every day, when he was going out to herd the cows and then coming back, and then he's on the chariot and leaving and says, coming, I will return. But when and what until he returns? He did nothing else until Krishna arrived out of his attachment to Krishna. He waited and waited and kept his house very clean. Now the scene changes again. That was sort of a transition scene where Krishna was in Mathura, but not yet in Mathura in one sense. He was just moving, just studying. He hadn't interacted with Mathura really yet. And now he's going to start interacting with Mathura. So Krishna desired to see Mathura. Now just remember, he grew up in a cowherd village. He was a village boy, and he had never been to the big city before. So he was eager to see the big city and what was happening and all the big buildings. And it's like a different world. So toward evening, he and Balaram and the cat with the cowherd boys with him, they entered the city. And he brought his friends with him. And of course, Nanda Maharaj, Krishna wanted to be with his friends, and his friends wanted to be with Krishna, but Nanda Maharaj said, you all boys go with Krishna, because just like when Krishna was going out to herd the cows, they were always thinking about. Parents are always worried about their children. It's just something that's it's just the nature of being a parent. So in this case, it's the perfection. Just thinking about Krishna, that anxiety. Prabhupada once asked, how would I find Krishna? I can't remember the exact phrasing, but how will I get to Krishna? And he replied, by your anxiety. And what he meant was by your intense desire. And when an intense desire is not yet fulfilled, there is always some anxiety. So that anxiety is a good thing if one is focused like a guru was focused on keeping his house clean. And just waiting, doing his service and waiting for Krishna's divine will to be enacted. So the cowherd boys went with Krishna in Balaram. And Krishna and Balaram, Krishna always has a plan when he's doing something. So we won't hear the full plan today, I think. They saw the city. But he had more than his plan. The Lord saw Mathura with its tall gates. And at that time, the Mathura was so opulent. So now when you look at Mathura, it's quite a crowded North Indian dusty city. But there's history. Mathura is a very, very old city. And Dakshini, you read a book that describes some of the opulence of Mathura, yes? Yeah. What did it say? Do you remember just in a few moments?
There were incredible temples with jeweled deities. And
this was historical.
This was Buddhist time. And then when the Buddhist time, then they changed all of that. But still, it was full of the eyes of the deities were like diamonds and rubies, and it was opulent for centuries and centuries.
gold. It was one of the most opulent of cities. So he saw the tall gates and household entrances made of crystals, great archways that they entered in that were made of gold. There were storehouses of grains, of copper and brass. And then there were moats, rivers surrounding the city for protection. There were gardens, there were parks. The main intersections were covered with gold. There were peacocks everywhere and turtle doves, pet pigeons, which sat on the small, and the windows were all lattice windows. Jali windows. And the floors were covered with gems, and there were balconies, and the balconies of the houses had precious stones, diamonds, crystal quartz, sapphires, coral, pearls, emeralds, and everything was clean and sprinkled with rose water. The flower gardens and people's houses, they had auspicious, they had like banana trees, and it describes in detail. So, and you see this in India. I remember seeing it in Jagannath Puri. It's very interesting. And in Vrindavan also, and I'm not sure it's still in some places it's like this. They keep pots, gold pots, not have coals anymore, but with coconuts on top and flower petals and incense. And then at just around dusk time, just like this in South India too. And then at dusk time, the people come out and offer incense and light lamps and ghee lamps. And the atmosphere is so auspicious, and ring bells. So it was so beautiful. There were flags, rows of lamps, flowers, trunks of banana trees and betel nut trees. So there's lots of descriptions of these things. And then everyone in the town, in that part of town, heard that Krishna and Balaram had come, who they had heard about so much. And they came out, they rushed out, everyone rushed out to see these boys because they knew that actually they were the sons of Vasudev. So they were royalty returning to their royal capital, actually. That's how they saw them. So they entered the city, and all surrounded Krishna. They were on the main road, the king's road, and they were surrounded by the cowherd boyfriends. And some of the women eagerly climbed the roofs of the houses to see Krishna. And they were so eager to see Krishna, just like when the gopis got called by Krishna. They were so eager to see Krishna. They forgot to decorate themselves properly. They forgot to put on their earrings or their ankle bells. And they were so eager. They wanted to put on their kajal or something over their eyes. But they got so eager. They only put it on one eye and they forgot the other. They put this part on here. They were just in their great eagerness. Some of them were eating. They stopped eating them. They were doing different things. If they were sleeping, they immediately woke up. And this is transcendental. Some of the mothers who were breastfeeding their babies, they just put the babies down. That's right. they just it was just spontaneous love coming from their hearts for Krishna. So they were on the roofs of the houses, and they were throwing down rose petals and on Krishna, and he just walked the way an elephant. Has anyone ever seen an elephant walking? I've seen so many. Yes, actually, Kenya, Bhutan, still elephants.
Yeah, I saw in my birthplace.
Okay. It's in the village. Delhi. Of course, it was the strongest elephants. So anyway, they're walking up, slowly, slowly moving their legs, slowly and very gracefully, very cool. So they were walking, and he just, with his lotus eyes, big lotus eyes, walking down the road with his friends, just looking at everything. Everyone looking at him, he just smiled and captivated everyone's heart. As soon as they saw him, they had heard about him. As soon as they actually saw him, their hearts melted. And he was looking at them the way that Krishna looks. Just entered their hearts through their eyes. He was smiling and glancing at everyone. And everyone went into ecstasy. And the hair stood on end. And they forgot the unlimited distress Srila Sukadeva Goswami says caused by absence of Krishna. And their faces bloomed with affection. And they began to throw flowers down on Krishna. And then some Brahmins came out. And they began to recite Vedic mantras. They made presentations to Krishna. And everything was very auspicious. They put fragrances on Krishna and Balaram and flower garlands and other items of worship. And then the ladies all said, how did the gopis in Vrindavan, what did they have to do in previous lives? What austerities, what piety did they do in previous lives that allowed them to regularly every day see Krishna and Balaram? Because they are the greatest source of pleasure for all of humanity. Now, the pastime now shifts, and I won't tell it, but I'll just begin it. It shifts because there was a Krishna and Balaram and the boys, as they were wandering, they saw a Rajak. You know what a Rajak is? It's, you know, what is it? And Dobi. Is the Hindi word Rajak also? Or is it, it's Sanskrit. They saw a washerman who was dyeing clothes and he was actually a servant of Kamsa's. And Krishna was so bold. He was so bold that he asked the washerman for the best clothes, all new clothes, because new clothes they should be washed before being worn. So he had taken them to the river and washed them in the river, and he was carrying them back. And Krishna said, please give me those new clothes. They're very fancy and nice, and I like them. I want them. So he washed clothes, he dyed them, and that's how we'll end right now. And tomorrow, Krishna will be so continued. Because it's so amazing what Krishna did. Now we have for another, what time did we say we would end at 8:15? Or
are we going to get a discussion?
Okay, does anyone have any questions? We have a few minutes. Questions, if anyone has any questions. Okay. What time is it on your watch? I don't know.
8:15.
Let's see. What? My watch says 8:10. Whose watch is right?
12. 12.
Okay. Okay. Why don't we just have 3 minutes of kirtan, since it's 8:12. And in this kirtan, everyone just think of the scene as you chant of Krishna entering Mathura or leaving, and just how he attracted everyone. Think of Krishna's beauty, how he dealt with the Pura, how everyone on the roofs just threw flower petals on him and was so captivated by beautiful Krishna. And see if we can sprinkle upon our hearts a little bit of an increased desire as we chant to be, to see, and be with, see, and serve Krishna. Just a few minutes of this. Because it's late and people have responsible works to do. But try to make it from the heart.
Thank you.
Let's see you tomorrow, if you're willing.